This is Matt from the Man Cave. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on this beautiful day. Today is April the 20th. I hope you're having an excellent day. Hey, today we're going to be in the book of 2 Kings. We're looking at chapters 18, 19. We're looking at Assyria, okay, trying to go against God's people, okay? Who's the king at the time? It's King Hezekiah. And let's just read about the story because it's so interesting. And in the end, guess what happens? God shows up. He shows out. And there's 185,000 Assyrians that are dead, corpses laying all over the ground. Guys, we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 5, and it's going to give us a glimpse. It's going to give us light about who Hezekiah was. What kind of king was he? What is in his heart? And it starts like this in verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord. It did not cease to follow him. He kept all the commandments the Lord had given him through Moses. Look at verse 7. I love this. And the Lord was with him. Listen to verse 7. And the Lord was with him. Oh, friends, if the Lord is with you, you can't lose. Okay? And the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. Watch these next words, because this is where Hezekiah gets in a little bit of trouble. But you're never in trouble if you're with the Lord. It says, he rebelled against the king of Assyria. It did not serve him. The whole story that's about to take place is because he's drew a line in the sand. He says, hey, I'm not going to follow the practices. I'm not going to give heed. I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. Let's fast forward, okay? Verse 17, the king of Assyria sent a supreme commander, his chief officer, his field commander with a large army, okay, to King Hezekiah in Jerusalem, okay? He's going to basically start taunting Hezekiah. He's going to basically brag about, okay, because you watch this. Assyria was a huge army. It was a huge city, okay? They had might, they had power, and they had a proven track record. And they're going to throw this up to King Hezekiah. They're going to tell him all the cities they've destroyed, all those people believed in God too. They're false gods, okay? And that's what this guy says, this commander. He says, hey, we destroyed these cities, and we destroyed their gods, and we took their gods out of their temples, and we burned their gods. That's what this guy said. So arrogant, this commander, okay, talking to Hezekiah. He even says this in verse 22. He says, if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God. I mean, you see what I'm saying? He just says this. If you're going to give me the excuse that you're depending on God when I've destroyed all these cities, I've annihilated their gods, and you're saying that your God is different. Here's the thing. It ain't flying with me, okay? This commander is just the epitome of pride, okay? He's so arrogant. He's prideful, okay? And you guys know what it says. Pride proceedeth to fall, a haughty spirit before what? Before destruction, okay? And he's taunting him, okay? He's sending letters. He's doing all these things. He's trying to intimidate, okay? Which is what? When a person's trying to intimidate someone, where is that from? Is that of God? It's never of God. Where is that from? That is from Satan. Transitions that they're communicating. Hezekiah is talking to the commander, and Hezekiah is just basically not saying anything. Okay? He's petitioning the Lord. Okay? He's saying, Lord, this is what this commander is saying. This is what this guy's doing. What do you want me to do? And then he goes this. This is so smart. He says, I want you to give word to Isaiah. I want you to tell Isaiah this, 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 and this. Isaiah is the prophet, okay? And let's get insight from the Lord. Let's hear from the Lord what he has to say. But the guy, he just won't let up. He's outside the walls, okay? Then the guy, the commander, he starts speaking, okay? Watch this. He starts speaking in Hebrew to the people. Before, he was speaking in his own language. But now he's trying to intimidate all those people that are on the wall. He's saying, don't listen to Hezekiah. Listen to verse 28. I think it's so funny. Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, hear the word of the great king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord. Oh my God. Here's the thing. You ever heard this? Those are fighting words. Friends, listen very carefully. These are fighting words, okay? He's not really taunting Hezekiah. You know who he's picking a fight with? He's picking a fight with the great God, the I Am. He's picking a fight with Jehovah. He's picking a fight with Almighty God, the host of the angel armies of Israel. Okay, that's who he's picking a fight with. He's picking a fight with God, and he's mocking the people on the wall. He's speaking in their own native language, and he's doing all these things. He's being antagonistic, which is what? It's of Satan. He's being very aggressive. He's trying to do all these different things, okay, trying to place fear in them. It transitions, okay? It transitions from fear to the commander saying this in verse 31. Listen to very carefully. He's gonna try to make them compromise. He says this, okay? Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out. Every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you into the land like your own land. It's just like your own land. What is this? He's trying to get them to compromise, okay? It's just like your own land with grain and wine and land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life. Don't choose death, okay? And watch this. I've noticed in my life, just another principle, okay, another life application thing that we can apply to our lives. The enemy is always going to get you to try to settle for less than. Okay, God wants to give you the best, but the enemy of your souls, which is Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the dragon, he always wants to get people to compromise on something that's okay or that's good. He's not offering, friends, here's the thing. He's not putting something out there that you don't want to nibble on, okay, something that's terrible. No, he's going to offer you something that seems from your eyesight, from your perspective, hey, this is decent, this is fair, this is more than fair. But you know what it is? It's compromise. God doesn't compromise, okay? You get on the winning team or you're destroyed. Do you understand how it is? Okay, it's God's way or no way. God says this, I am the deal. Okay, he's not saying let's make a deal. He says, I am the deal. The enemy always wants to get you to settle. Living a life of settling, compromise. Oh, this is okay. I'm okay with this. If I go with this way, guess what? I don't have to confront anybody. I don't have to argue. I don't have to trust God. You see, that's what it is. God's ways are this. It's of faith and it's always of trusting God, meaning walking his ways. Have you ever noticed the Christian walk, the Christian pilgrimage? There's so much trust involved in it. There's so much of faith involved in it. And you're like, well, why is that, Matt? I do notice that. It's because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is never so much delighted in you when you are trusting him at his word. When you are taking what he says in the word and what you are taking what he's spoken into your life by his spirit, okay? And you're holding on to those things, okay? And you're moving forward in victory, knowing you couldn't lose with a losing machine. The Abba Father, okay? He loves you. He sent his only begotten son. It's been established once and for all. But he wants you to rely on him, to trust him, to cultivate that relationship. Oh, God wants you to rely on him, trust him, okay? Realize this, he always has your best interest at hand. He's allowing you to experience something in your life that you're uncomfortable with, okay? So he can grow you, mature you, and he can promote you and bless you, okay? God is always about, okay, furthering you, getting you, and growing you, okay? And I'm telling you what, there's nothing like the favor of God and the blessings of God. Well, let's skip to verse 19, okay? We're kind of bouncing all around here, and I hope you're going to stick with me in your leisure, okay? Meaning this, Matt wants you to read 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19 in its entirety and get the whole gist of the story. Okay, verse 19, when the king heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and he went into the temple of the Lord. Meaning this, he's presenting himself. Okay, this is the king. Now, a lot of people I know, they're so high and mighty. They demand respect. They want honor. They want all these things. They like all those abbreviations before their name. They like to sit like the Pharisees. And Jesus said, they like to sit at the head of the table. Okay, okay. Even before Jesus was here on earth. Okay, listen, that men wanted honor that did not belong to them. Watch this very carefully, because as children of the living God, we are servants. But that's what Hezekiah does. He's the king, okay? You would think he's all high and he's not like that. He gets on his knees, he rips his clothes, he's representing the people, he's a servant of the people, okay? And he says, Lord, here's where I am. This is where I am. You see what's going on. You've heard the blasphemies from this commander, okay, and from the king of Syria. You've heard it, Lord. King Hezekiah is there. He sends word, okay, again to Isaiah. Isaiah sends word back to him in verse 5 of chapter 19. When King Hezekiah's officers came back from Isaiah, this is the message. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you heard. Meaning God within this text is basically saying, look who's speaking. They don't serve the God of Israel, okay? They don't serve Jehovah. Look at them. I mean, absolutely look at them. God says this, I'm going to put a spirit in this guy. He's going to hear a word and he's going to run. He's going to book out of here. You don't need to worry. And that's exactly what happens. This commander gets a word and he thinks another army's coming and he's invading. And so he books it out of town. But the army is still there, okay? He books just like the word of the Lord said through Isaiah. He gets there. But watch this. Once he realizes, oh, good grief. I was duped. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need to come here. He writes another letter. He writes a letter to Hezekiah saying, hey, don't think because I left, this isn't going to happen. We're going to pound you into the sand. We're going to kill you because because you're playing with, meaning this, he's trying to intimidate, he's trying to bring fear. He's trying to do all these things that are not of God, okay? And here's the thing, Hezekiah, when we started in 18 verse 5, okay, we looked and we saw Hezekiah trust the Lord. He's serving the Lord to the best of his ability. He's not a perfect king by any means, okay? But he's doing the things that he knows to do. And what does he know to do? He knows to go to God. Well, Hezekiah, he gets word by a letter, by a courier, okay? And he reads this and it's all these blasphemies, all this stuff. It's all these things he's saying he's going to do. We've done this, we've done this. Haven't you heard about this kingdom? And Hezekiah would have recognized the kingdom. We destroyed them, we restored their God, we destroyed their people. Haven't you heard about this kingdom? Haven't you heard about this kingdom? And then he goes to say, don't rely on Egypt, because Egypt at that time was somewhat of an ally to Israel, meaning they could be hired, Pharaoh could be hired to protect you and use their armies. He says, here's the thing, Pharaoh's nothing. He's like a rod that's going to go through your hand when he puts weight on it, okay? And so here's the thing, you know what Hezekiah does? He goes into the temple with these letters and he lays them out right before God and he bows himself down to the ground like, God, I want you to read what this guy is saying. Friends, I've seen people do this in their lives, okay? Meaning this, they've gotten a rotten letter. Someone said something about them. And what they're doing is they're making their petition, they're making their request unto Almighty God. It's not in us to handle these things, but oftentimes, isn't that what we're doing? Aren't we trying to handle life situations and the circumstances of life? We're trying to go about it and be God of our lives. Me, myself, and I got it handled, Lord. No, God wants you to rely on him. Over and over, I don't know how many times I've told different stories, different texts, okay, different parts of the Bible, and it says the same thing. The smart ones, the wise ones, they always go to God with the situation. God has allowed the situation in your life so you can present the situation back to him. Hezekiah has it going on. Why does he have it going on? Because of his own strength, because of his army, because of his resources, because of his talents, abilities, because of his position, because of who he is, who he knows? No, Hezekiah has it going on because his dependence is on God. That's how where his strength lies. Okay, verse 14, it picks up. Listen to this. Hezekiah received the letter from the messenger, and he read it. And he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubs, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of this messenger. Listen to the words of this cat, okay? This uncircumcised Philistine. It doesn't say that, but it reminds me of David, okay? He's saying, I want you to see what's going on here, meaning I'm bringing to position. Well, God's already seeing, but what it is, it's basically, it's almost like a magnifying glass. You're bringing something. You're saying, Lord, I need you to read this right here. Okay, I want you to focus on this. And he's humbling himself before the Lord. Friends, here's the thing. There's certain things that get God's attention in life. Very carefully, there's a couple things that always get God's attention. One is this, humility, a humble spirit and a contrite heart, meaning this, I'm broken. I'm coming to God. I realize he's my source. He's my strength. He's my everything. I need him. And Hezekiah's doing this. Friends, I know people who couldn't pay their bills, who lost their job, and they're about to foreclose on their house. And they presented those bills before the Lord. And they humbled themselves and say, God, if this is your will for us to lose the house, then let it be. Not my will, but thy will be done. But this is what I'm facing, okay? Here's the thing. God loves to do the impossible, okay? Here's the thing. If you can handle it, he might not even get involved. But here's the thing. When it's impossible, I mean when the deck is stacked absolutely against you, he likes to show up. He likes to show out, but he's looking at your heart. Are you trying to figure it out in your own strength? Are you going to do it in your strength? Don't. This letter presented before the Lord. Here's Hezekiah on the ground with the officials. Okay, he's humbling before the Lord, okay? Guess what happens? God hears it. God sees all, hears all. He's all powerful, okay? God gives a word to Isaiah. Isaiah says, okay, writes a note again to Hezekiah, said, take this to Hezekiah. This is what it says. Listen to this. Now, the I here is God. When you hear God say I, relax, okay? I will defend the city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Friends, do you hear that? The I am that I am. God is our sufficiency. He is the great I am. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Nissi, meaning the Lord is our banner. See, what's taking place here is this. God is saying this, I'm taking care of this. I mean, my banner is over Israel. My banner is over the people, my chosen people, okay? Yeah, they're not perfect, but I'm not going to forsake them. I'm not going to leave them, okay? I'm not going to let this taunting fool come in there and wreak havoc, okay? I'm going to make a mockery of him. And friends, look at what happened. is, okay? Because a lot of people, it's amazing. God's not going to let Hezekiah or one soldier shoot an arrow, pick up a sword, okay? They didn't say a word. They were zipping their mouths, okay? They were silent before their enemy. They were giving it all to God. What they were doing, they were surrendering. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, if it's your will for us to get slaughtered and annihilated, let it be done. But we are not going to serve them. Okay, we would rather die than to serve their pagan gods and to be a part of that group over there. They're surrendering to God, not surrendering to the Assyrian army. And friends, they can look over the wall. When we hear these stories, I don't think we understand. There's about 250,000, okay, 300,000 people. That's an awful lot of people, especially if you're in a small town of 5,000, 10,000, 15. Look, it's a huge city worth of people, and they're all over the place, for miles and miles and miles. They're just everywhere, okay? But let's see what God does in the story. Oh, yeah, baby. That night, listen to what God's going to do. Listen to how God shows up and shows out when we do the right thing. That night, the angel of the Lord, which is who? It's Jesus Christ, okay? He's in full battle fatigue, okay? That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And when the people got up the next morning, there were dead bodies, corpses. So the king of Assyria, you know what? There's dead people. The next morning, when Hezekiah gets up, when the Israelites get up, they look over the wall, okay? There's dead people everywhere. Look at. Everywhere, okay? Reminds me of the Exodus, okay? With the death angel coming through, okay? And those people who haven't hearkened, those people who are under the blood, okay? Those people who haven't surrendered. The firstborn was dead. Okay? This time, the king of Syria, he's out there, okay? He wakes up that morning, he sees all the dead bodies, 185,000 dead bodies, okay? The remaining troops in him, they haul. I mean, they are booking, okay? But did he get away with it? I mean, did the commander get away with it? And did the king of Assyria, who was taunting the living God, did they get away with it? Friends, why didn't God kill this Assyrian king? Because he was in the proximity of Israel. Why didn't the angel of the Lord kill that guy? Okay, kill that king, kill those commanders, all these people boasting. Why didn't he do it? Friends, there's nothing more humiliating than what's about to take place. Listen to this in the very next verse, and that's the end of our story. One day, while he was worshiping, he's talking about the king in the temple, worshiping his false god, his sons cut him down with the sword and escaped to the land of Ararat. He's worshiping a false god, okay, in Assyria. And what ends up happening? Because of the greed that's in his son's hearts, the pride, the arrogance, just like daddy, okay, they come and they slew. Most people don't understand this. To die in battle or into war was honorable. I mean, he died defending the nation, or, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that. He died by the hands of his own children. They murdered him. Friends, what are we to learn from this story? I want to go back to 18 real quick. Just listen to this in closing. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. We could just stop that. Meaning this, that's a legacy in and of itself. Those words written in the Bible, friends, those are pillars that go up to the highest heaven, that he trusted God. God got him to the place in his life where he trusted God. And back to Hezekiah, it says this in 18:5, he trusted him, okay? He had eyes of faith. He's walking in victory, okay? And yes, it was challenging to him and to the people watching what was taking place. But friends, God says we're not looking with our eyes. We're not looking at our circumstances, at our surroundings. What we're doing is we're looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're looking to Jehovah. We're looking to the great I Am. We're looking to Yeshua, to Jesus, the bright and morning star. He's the winner, okay? I want to be with him in the winner's circle. I want to be with the guy who has already won, who's already spoken that word, who already defeated death, hell, and the grave. That's the guy I want to be with. I want to be a winner, okay? And I can always be a winner if I align myself up with God, if I surrender and I trust in him and I'm abiding in him and I'm doing it his way and not my own way. And friends, that is the life of victory, and that's what you want to experience. Friends, here's the thing. God is the winner, okay? And if you're in opposition to him, you've already lost. You don't want to go there, and you don't want to go where those people are going either, okay? Hey, this is Matt from the Man Cave.